spectrum of draws.
We've had the really, like, dreadful goalless draws. We had the Real Madrid draw was intense, somewhat entertaining. We had the really bad 1-1s. This was an entertaining 1-1.
But also an annoying one in the sense that they should have won it.
Yeah. Kind of. Let's talk about, I guess we have to start, why Atletico should have won it, Rob.
Oh, there's multiple reasons. Which of the many shall we start with?
Let's start with the refereeing controversies.
Okay.
Well, I feel a little bit better about this now because it wasn't just Atletico that got robbed on Saturday. Real Madrid did too.
Yeah, I suppose so.
It makes it a tad easier to stomach, but not really.
Mainly just that La Liga's VAR is just kind of guessing. Everyone's VAR sucks. I'm out on VAR again. It's, you know, it's, I think we've seen it for a while now, but I think really probably the best application of it would be in just restricting it for things that are like so obviously wrong rather than checking every single thing.
I think that's always been my complaint about it. Like, hypothetically, theoretically, it's great. VAR ideally eliminates a lot of these inconsistencies and the major missed calls. Like in the Real Madrid game, there was a clear handball within the final 15 minutes that it should have been a penalty for Madrid, but it didn't even go to VAR.
Who makes that decision?
Yeah, that's the referee. It's ridiculous. But that's what VAR is supposed to be there for, and it's not even being used for that.
No.
And of those marginal calls, there were a couple. One that did go Atletico's way, another that didn't, and a third call that did not even go to the video assistant referee, which is the one that aggravated me the most.
Yes, that one's bad. I have a feeling we're going to have a little bit of a discussion.
We're going to have a dialogue on that one. So let's go let's go in sequential order. 55th minute, Atletico are down by a goal to nil. They were absolutely terrible in the first half, again. Mudo Vasquez has the opener. And Atletico come out in the second half, though, and through Thomas Partey, who basically single-handedly brought Atletico back into the game, through Thomas Partey, Atletico have started to play with more intensity, they've started to play with more vigor, more energy, not having to defend as much, which was a major problem in the first half. And Angel Correa is involved again. He was great on Saturday. He delivers a ball for Diego Costa to head home. And it looks like the goal's going to stand. Looks like nothing's wrong with it. Diego Costa's got a goal that would be great for his confidence, great for the team. And hold on, it's called back because Correa was offside. Now, it was marginal, but he was offside.
Right. And, I mean, I think even today we've seen sort of the – because people sort of talk about the offside with regards to VAR as like, oh, well, it's an objective thing. You're either offside or not. Well, and I'm sure you're aware of this, but the Roberto Firmino one today was offside because his arm was offside.
Right.
And my interpretation of the rule always was you can't be offside with a part of your body can't score with.
Right.
Which is your arm. Even then, I mean, I agree with you. Correa was offside, but it's irritating when it comes down to that fine of a margin.
Yeah, and offsides aren't objective. You know, offsides always have a degree of subjectivity to them. Like, some of these calls don't even go to VAR, or haven't gone to VAR. This one did, and it was the right call. In this case, even as an Atletico supporter and writer, in this case, it was the right call, and it didn't aggrieve me as much, particularly because 5 minutes later, Atletico equalized through the scalding hot Alvaro Morata.
He's real good.
Yeah.
And feeding him crosses that he can head in seems to be the method. And who would have thought that?
Really?
Who would have thought he's honestly good at heading?
It was Santiarias who delivered this one. Morata unmarked, just like Costa was, at the back post. Really nods in pretty easily. Fourth goal in as many games. He is winning Atletico points on his own. I mean, these aren't wins. I mean, the first two were against Leverkusen and Athletic. The last two have been draws away from home. But, you know, if you're not going to win, you might as well draw. You just don't want to lose. Which we'll talk about later on, what this is a good result or not. But Morata's just on fire. This is his best stretch as an Atletico player. He was really good again. Two shots, both of them on target. won five headers, and he gives Atletico a certain elasticity. He's really stretches play for them in a way that Diego Costa does not.
Yeah, and it's sort of in a way that Diego Costa used to, in the sense that he's dominant in the air, and he's capable of making some really solid off-the-ball runs that I think really opens things up for everyone else. Now, granted, I think that would make an even bigger difference if João Félix was still on the team, instead of Correa and some of the poor-performing wingers that we've had of late. But, yeah, I mean, this team has not been playing well, sort of excluding the defense, and Morata's really been the only reason this team has scored any goals.
Yeah, and then the guys who created for him, Correa, Lodi, Arias, all assisting his goals. Correa, of course, nearly assisted another one today, but Arias delivered this one, and we'll talk about why he was on the pitch in the first place, because Kieran Trippier started this game. The second VAR controversy came about 10 minutes after Atletico equalized. Sergio Reguilon and Koke were battling for the ball right around the edge of the 18-yard box. There's contact made. Koke goes down. He goes down outside of the box, though. This is kind of similar to the Madrid derby last year, where Vinicius won a penalty in a similar situation against Jose Jimenez, where was the foul in the box? Where did he go down? Where was the initial contact made? And after a somewhat lengthy review, it was initially a free kick. A somewhat lengthy review concluded that it was a penalty to Atletico, which I didn't really think it was, Rob.
No, I didn't either.
No.
I thought Koke was outside the box. I also thought the Vinicius one, for the record, was outside the box last year.
It was. that one was. That was a horrible call. But this one I also think was the wrong call, actually. I think the contact was made, like, right on the edge, but Koke goes down outside of the box. And that makes it a tougher call, because he does not go down in the box. The contact was not strong enough to have him fall down in the box.
Well, and I don't know how you can justify then that being a penalty, because Koke wasn't going towards goal. It wasn't going to be really creating any sort of serious chance from there. I think from where he was on the pitch, it makes far more sense that it would have been a free kick.
Yeah, he is in fact going away from goal. He wasn't
exactly.
He's going away from goal to try to bring the ball back out and try to reset play.
And so you're giving Atletico basically 75% chance to score. Obviously they missed it, but that doesn't matter in the vacuum that most penalties are scored.
Right, and Atletico did not really deserve that penalty. So, you know, another instance of ball don't lie, Rob.
One of those.
The ball very rarely lies. And Diego Costa steps up because, you know, why wouldn't you have Morata step up? He hasn't scored four goals in four games or anything. No, I'll give it to Costa. So he steps
Costa
up.
Can't score from anything that isn't a penalty, as we know.
He can't even score those. He stepped up. The run-up is painfully slow, and it's obvious where he's going to go. He's going to shoot it to the keeper's right. The keeper's right. So Vasilic dives for it, parries it away pretty easily because Costa telegraphed it. And then the follow-up misses, and
You know, the follow-up's actually a really solid attempt by Koke, by the way.
It was,
I thought that was going in, to be honest.
And Vasilic did make there was a better save on the Koke follow-up than there was on the Costa penalty.
For real. Yeah, it was a terrible penalty. It's interesting. We don't talk about this much, but I'm thinking about our team and who really should be the penalty taker. And from a blank slate vacuum point of view, I think I would go with Tomas to be the default penalty taker. I don't know why. I just feel confident in him.
In terms of his power, yes.
Right.
Not sure how precisely he could place it, but I mean, I would have given it to Morata because he's the guy who's in form. If you have to pick a striker, I would have picked him.
Yeah, but he can't take a penalty with his head, Jeremy. It's a problem.
I mean, that is an interesting question. Who should be taking penalties for Atletico? I mean,
there's not like a natural penalty taker in the squad like there was when Griezmann was there.
Yeah, because Koke has never really been a penalty taker.
No.
And he did miss one at the World Cup, you know, a year and a half ago.
I wouldn't I wouldn't feel great about Koke being over a penalty.
Maybe Sowell. I may give him to Sowell.
Maybe. Yeah.
Because he scored some big ones before.
That's true.
Against, in the Champions League, no less. PSV and Real Madrid.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, is there anyone else? I mean, Hector Herrera, maybe? He's taken some pretty big penalties for Mexico in the past.
True. He's been a clutch player. Yeah, it's a weird one, because there isn't really... And even... I'm not even sure I'd give him to João Félix.
No.
I'm not even sure I would at 19 years old. So it is... It's actually a very good question. Who would take penalties for this team? Thomas isn't a bad shout. But either way, it was Costa who took this one, and it sucked. And... Yeah. That was... Gotta get him out of there.
It's horrific. It's
tough to watch. And he came in after halftime for Lema, and he is out there on the wing, outside the box, passing with Santi Arias. I mean, come on. Come on.
I don't know really what the solution is, other than he just has to be gone in January.
And it is a possibility, you would think.
But Atleti would have to be willing to absorb a massive loss.
It'd be a huge loss, yeah.
I mean, to get half of what they paid to bring him back would be miraculous.
If not in January, then in the summer. Because in the summer, he's going to have a year left on his contract. And
exactly.
At that point, you need to make a decision on him.
And then you may get $10 million. Maybe.
Yeah, you're going to have to take a massive loss on him either way because he's just not good anymore. But that's a conversation that they're going to have another time. And right now he's in the team, and right now he's not doing so hot. And he was at the center of the second refereeing controversy, which only added to Atletico's set-piece woes. The third and final controversy, as I mentioned earlier, is the one that was most egregious. Deep into stoppage time, so we're in the third minute of stoppage time. There's a scramble in the six-yard box right near the goal line. The Sevilla center back, Jules Koundé, is there on the goal line. Ball bounces to him, and he shields it, sticking it between his thighs, guiding it there with his forearm, and holding it there so that Alvaro Morata can't pry it free. Koke is screaming that it's a handball, or it's over the line. And to top it off, the free kick is given to Sevilla. There's no review. Yeah. Apparently, it can't even go to VAR. So there was no review. There was no penalty. No handball call. Not even a free kick for Atleti. The free kick went to Sevilla. How?
It was handball. I mean...
Why?
And you see this a lot, and it's kind of a sort of a dirty secret in football that you can go over and do that sort of on all fours thing and win a free kick just sort of with minimal contact. But despite, I mean, it was quite clearly off his forearm.
Yeah, I appreciate shithousery. You, sure. You and I both appreciate it, considering the team that we're podcasting about.
I was about to say, yes, yeah, how could you not?
He guided it with his arm. Yep. That is a clear, he made himself bigger and guided it with his arm. It was intentional contact. That is a penalty. It's a penalty. And it wasn't given.
It's absolutely a penalty. And the really frustrating thing is that it didn't even go to VAR.
Apparently it can't. It's not eligible to go to VAR. I think Az had a snap piece on this after the game. Like, by the rule, it's not an eligible call to be made by the assistant referee, the video assistant referee.
But
basically,
wouldn't you think that a possible handball in the box would be eligible to go to a video replay? I mean, that seems fairly straightforward. Yeah, I just don't understand that.
The majority of the contact was made with his thigh, but in order to get the ball between his legs, he had to guide it with his forearm. I mean,
exactly.
There really is no explanation needed. There shouldn't have to be a piece written about this. It should be a penalty. But it's not something that VAR accounts for. Apparently.
For some reason,
yeah.
Yeah, it was stupid. I mean, granted, Costa probably would have taken it again. So who knows what would have happened.
Yeah.
It was just a mad scramble there at the end.
And Correa was, like, right in the middle of it. Correa was great. For, like, the third straight game, his third game in a week, Correa was awesome.
Correa Morata just works.
Yeah, he didn't guide a shot on target, but completed 89% of his passes across 54 touches. He was fantastic. Completed 5 dribbles as well, which tied with Tomas for the team lead.
Well, he and Tomas were pretty spectacular in this match.
They were all things they considered. Were Atleti's 2 best players. I mean, those three, including Morata.
Absolutely. I mean, they were directing traffic the whole match. Yeah. Tomas, again, I mean, Tomas has been unbelievable this season. I mean, the step forward he's made, I totally didn't see coming. I mean, you and I have both loved him for a while, but we sort of thought he had reached sort of where he was going to be at in terms of his ability. But he's taken a step forward in terms of being basically like the quarterback of this team.
Without him, there is no equalizer. There is no rally, quote-unquote. He took up the ball after halftime. He just decided he was going to drive it forward no matter what. He was going to go Leroy Jenkins and just push up and aggressively with power, with purpose, intent. He drove all these counterattacks and got Atleti back into the game. Some energy finally back in his team.
I mean, and Tomas can do everything. I mean, that's his best trait, is that he is effective in all phases of play. And basically the dirty secret about Atletico is that this is what we thought Saul and Koke were going to be
in terms of
the catalyst of the team, and Tomas is the guy.
Yeah, definitely thought Saul would be this guy, but Saul's taken a step back, and Tomas, or at least stagnated, and Tomas has taken a step up.
And Koke's been the same guy for 6 years now?
Just about. I mean, which is five years? Which is fine. Koke's made it work. Atletico have made it work. But Tomas is this team's best midfielder. I don't think he's
Gabby in the way that we thought he may be.
No. Very different player from Gabby.
Yeah.
Very different.
Tomas is very much in the lineage of the Thiago Gabby.
Yeah, I mean,
central midfielder.
My like direct comparison for him would be Thiago. I mean, he runs a bit more than Thiago did, but in terms of the being the metronome, kind of being in that engine room, breaking up play just as well as he circulates possession, I think the direct comparison is Thiago.
Yep, he has his number, and I mean, I think the other thing about it is Thiago was a bit older when he came to Atleti.
Yeah.
He was a bit more athletic in his younger days, and now we have all of the things in Tomas, which is fantastic.
Yeah, he's wonderful. He has become one of Spain's very best midfielders, and arguably one of Europe's best midfielders this year. He's been great. And he is the standout guy in this midfield.
Yeah, I think so. Maybe the competition from Llorente, from everyone else, or that there's just a vacuum in that central midfield that he was able to step into, has really, really helped him out.
Yeah, if anyone benefited from Rodri's departure, it's him.
That's true.
Yeah. And Marco Llorente, again, did not get off the bench. And he had kind of a horror show on Tuesday, as we discussed, nearly getting sent off. And yeah, I feel bad for Marcos, but right now he shouldn't be in this team.
Felt like it probably should have been a Vitolo match. I get it. It would have been a pretty horrific reception. Yeah,
that's what I wanted to ask. What's going on with Vitolo? I mean, I know that it's at Sevilla. Considering how he left Sevilla, it would have been a bad scene. But what's going on with him? He has played just 13 minutes since the Madrid derby on September 28th. Now, he's been injured for a chunk of that time, but he's been healthy for the past couple weeks.
I mean, I guess they're being careful with him, but I don't know. I mean, he gets hurt a lot. I mean, let's not beat around the bush here. He's basically been hurt since he's been at Atleti fairly consistently.
Yeah.
Sadly. That's been his main consistent trait, is that he's been hurt. So I would think... Oh, man, I mean, he needs to play. I feel like we say it all the time about Vitola. It's like, man, he's got to play. It's like, yeah.
Because he's good. But he's good.
Yeah, he's been great this year.
And those first, that first 2 weeks of the season, when he scored two huge goals against Leganés and Eibar, you're thinking, okay, this is the impact super sub that we've been crying out for, that Cholo has really needed off his bench. And then he had a few so-so performances, and he got hurt. And he hasn't been really in the plans since then.
I guess the argument is he may start midweek.
Yeah, it's a decent chance at Leverkusen, a team that is not going to get out of the group stage. And Atletico do need to rotate a bit more. Because next week against Espanyol is all of a sudden a huge game.
Yeah, and I think the reason this week is frustrating is more because of the results around the league rather than the match itself. Because it was a good performance.
The second half was. I think that the result was fair. I'm not sure how much you'd agree, but the result was fair. Sevilla were better in the first half. Atletico were better in the second half. There were calls that could have gone either way. Atletico should not have won a penalty. Sevilla should have been penalized for a handball. So those two things kind of even out. I think in a vacuum, going to Sevilla and churning out a 1-1 draw is good. That's a tough place to play, and that's one of the four or five best teams in the league.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just always don't feel great about just sort of being like, oh, it's a draw, it's fine. I mean, there have been so many draws this season, and a draw isn't that much better than a loss, really. I mean, you get a point. Like, woo, point. We're slightly better off. I don't know. This team just feels like they're not taking the step forward that they need to if they're going to make a title challenge, which I think at this point seems relatively unrealistic.
I mean, absolutely, about not taking that step forward. With the results Saturday, it's a real missed opportunity, because you have Levante beating Barcelona 3-1 in a crazy 10-minute stretch. They scored three goals. You have Betis going to the Bernabeu and somehow holding on for a goalless draw against Madrid. And then you have Atletico, after a disappointment at Alaves, a chance to rebound, and yet another chance that's been given to them to go top, to really, truly capitalize on the teams around them not playing up to standard, and they go and do this. At least it wasn't a loss. I thought, personally, that Sevilla were going to pound Atleti today. I thought this was going to be a real wake-up call for them. So, meh.
Yeah, I mean, I think I said a draw last time we talked on Tuesday.
And you were right.
This team doesn't feel like they have enough firepower at the moment. With João Félix out and Diego Costa being crap, it's just like there just aren't enough goals in this team, because the midfield isn't scoring goals. I mean, as much as Tomas is good, he's not a goal scorer. Lemar has been awful for two seasons now.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not good.
Yeah, Lemar, tough one. Again, this was the same 11 that beat Athletic 2-0 in one of Atleti's best displays in the past month. And Lemar doesn't last 45 minutes. The same kind of problems we've discussed, that his decision-making is just not good enough for a team at this level. He's indecisive. He doesn't know when to be aggressive and when not to be aggressive. He seems really kind of nervous with the ball at his feet. He made 18. I tweeted about this and I wrote about it. 18 first half passes. 5 of them were forward passes. The rest were either behind him or sideways passes.
Yeah. That's like, pretty terrible.
And that sums it up.
What really should be the team's most creative wide midfielder.
Atleti need him, or they need someone like him, to link midfield to attack. And Simeone isn't blameless here, because Simeone has never played him kind of as that number 10 behind a striker, behind two strikers. Simeone's never done that. But Lemar, there is an individual responsibility here, and he just does not appear to have the mentality. He doesn't appear to have that, again, aggressiveness, where he can take guys on. He would rather slow things down and pass laterally or pass behind him even and have someone else take care of it.
Yeah, I mean, you can understand sort of from his perspective why he's off in terms of the confidence. He just has never put together a run of form at all. I mean, maybe one performance, but then despite that, he's been fairly anonymous the entire time he's been at Atleti.
No goals, no assists this season. We're into November now.
That's real bad.
Real bad. There have been glimpses of the player he can be. He is a talented player. Good passer, good dribbler. Can be nifty with the ball at his feet, but it's that step to go from A to B to C. He doesn't have the B to C part down. He doesn't have a great idea of where the game is flowing.
And it just feels like a bad environment for him, a Simeone team. I mean, he's presumably doing what Simeone's asking him to do, which is work his ass off.
And he does do that. He does do that.
I can't fault him for that at all.
No, he's always worked hard, but you kind of wonder, is he really Atletico quality?
Yeah, I mean...
Or is he really more Sevilla quality?
Yeah, I suppose it's either that, or is this just not the manager and the team for him? Because you feel like in a more creative, free-flowing team, he might have a little bit more room to work with.
Or a team that prizes possession more than Atletico do.
Exactly.
So maybe Sevilla could be that team, just for one. But I'm not sure at a team with Atletico's ambitions, perhaps. Maybe he's not the right player, whether it's his individual talent or whether it's the fit with the manager's philosophy. He just may not be a fit for this team. And eventually, the conversation, the debate is going to turn to, when are Atleti going to sell him?
Right. And I think the question, I mean, I think what we know for sure is that he is not a star player in the way that, and I know João Félix hasn't set the world on fire since he's been here, but he's had those moments where it's like, oh boy, this is something special.
Yeah.
Thomas Lemar has never had those moments.
Lemar's transfer fee kind of elevated expectations. But even at Monaco, he was in a team that was filled with players like that. You had Mbappe, you had Fabinho, you had Mandi, you had several other stars. So Lemar didn't always have to take the leading role.
And I think, I mean, the other thing about that Monaco team, and we've seen it, I guess, to a lesser extent with Bakayoko as well.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, man, that team was made to look real good by Kylian Mbappe.
Yeah.
Who is the best player of his generation.
The exception, not the rule. That's what
Mbappe is. Kylian Mbappe is just stupid. It's just dumb how good he is. And he's playing for such a stupid team. I find that whole situation really frustrating because Kylian Mbappe is so good and he shouldn't be playing for PSG at this point.
Well, I think he ends up at Madrid in the next year or two anyway.
Ugh.
I think he's going to end up there, so pick your poison. I'd rather him stay at PSG, frankly.
Well, I'd rather him leave, go somewhere. I don't know.
I don't want him coming to La Liga. I don't want to see him every twice a year. I don't want to see that.
He's so good, though. He's so good. I don't know. I feel like PSG, I really just want them to fail as a club. They really annoy me.
Yeah.
Jerks.
How do you really feel?
Yeah, I'll tell you later.
Anywho, you mentioned João Félix, who has not set the world alight since he came over from Benfica, but how much do Atleti miss him right now?
I mean, I think it's really his presence sort of changes the mentality of the team in a lot of ways. I mean, I know Correa is kind of like the light version of him.
Yeah.
Like, you see some of the same things, but João Félix can just do everything really well in an attacking sense and really drives the team forward and just makes everyone else better. I really enjoyed watching him when he was in the team, and he just adds something that this team hasn't had, really.
I mean, Atletico weren't scoring goals with him.
No.
They're not scoring goals without him.
Right. So, yeah, and but I feel like he never really got into a great run of form either. We had some moments, but never really was blasting forward, if you know what I mean.
Just hasn't. He's had to adapt, of course, being, you know, 19. And
yeah,
Simeone's system is really not for everyone, as we've just discussed. I think Atletico have missed him, but not so much since Correa has really come alive this past week.
Yeah, he's been good.
It's really important for him, for the team, that Correa has really played well. It was an opportunity that he was probably going to get, because chances were either Zhao or Alvaro or Diego Costa were going to get hurt. And Correa's taken it and run with it. So he's kind of lessened the blow of Zhao Felix being out with this ankle injury. The expectation is he comes back in a few weeks after the international break. So that'll be nice to have him
back
in the fold. But yeah, Atletico do miss him, of course. That's firepower. That's your team's leading goal scorer. Well, second leading now behind Morata.
Which is crazy.
Yeah. So,
Yeah, looking forward to getting him back.
They do miss him. The final 20 minutes of this match against Sevilla. Expected goals, Rob. Atletico 1.71. Sevilla 0.15. There were no goals in the final 20 minutes of this match.
Yeah, Atletico dominated the second half.
Yeah, I mean, you have those chances at the very, very end. Put aside the Costa penalty. Costa had another shot that was blocked. You have Morata, who was kind of on the doorstep lurking. Vasilic made a good save, and then we had the controversy with Jules Koundé on the goal line. So, yeah, I'm not sure Atletico deserved more than the draw, though, particularly on the back of that first half, which was just a horror show for Kieran Trippier and Renan Lodi. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, they did not do so well.
So the plan, which was a good one from Simeone, was to force everything toward the middle of the pitch, because Sevilla are one of the league's most active teams from wide positions. Their fullbacks create a lot of their play, especially Jesus Navas, who has found the fountain of youth at back home at Sevilla. And the plan was a good one, but it became evident very early that Sevilla were going to bypass it, because Atletico were giving them the ball. They have several pretty talented passers in midfield, Ever Banega chief among them. And pretty soon Sevilla got into good positions, and Renan Lodi was getting cooked by Jesus Navas. He conceded the foul that led to the free kick that Banega kind of whipped in for Muro Vasquez. Lodi left Muro Vasquez alone at the penalty spot, by the way. And Trippier had just a devil of a time trying to track Reguilon, the Real Madrid loanee. Trippier didn't even make it beyond halftime. Lodi came off with about 15 minutes to go. Tough one.
Yeah, we thought the Santiarius, we thought he was done, but turns out Kieran Trippier playing terribly has opened the door back up for him.
The Santiarius train is indeed a rolling down the tracks.
Yes, indeed. I mean, we've always been big fans of Santiarius.
And he hasn't really done much wrong this year. He missed that chance against Valencia. He wasn't sturdy defensively against Alaves, but he's been really good otherwise.
Yeah, I mean, he's been good since he's come to Atletico, just for whatever reason Simeone doesn't like him. And not to say that we dislike Kieran Trippier, he's just had a bad run here. He's been on a long trip with England in recent weeks and just hasn't been up quite to the form he was at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, he's been a little out of form. The sheen from his first few games has kind of worn off a little. Lodi, we kind of knew he would have performances like this. You take the defensive difficulties with his excellent attacking prowess. With Trippier, it seemed like he was adjusting really well, but recent weeks have been a struggle for him. They're both susceptible defensively, and a team like Sevilla was really well equipped to take that on, to take on that challenge.
For sure. Yeah, like you said, Jesus Navas somehow is now good, despite only being able to do one thing, which is run really fast in a straight line and cross the ball. So.
Cross, yes. Run, cross, goal. Yeah,
that's what he does.
He's good. And Sevilla are good. And Sevilla are a good team. They're fourth now. They're still level on points with Atletico. Lopetegui, the job was kind of made for him. That's a good club to kind of instill that style in. Real Madrid was not that kind of club. Sevilla are. So Sevilla are good. Atletico are unbeaten in 8. Woohoo.
Yay.
2 wins, 6 draws. Yay.
A lot of draws.
I mean, but hey, if you lose only one game for the entire season,
yeah,
you'll be in the hunt for the title.
Yeah, we'll see. They do need to win some.
If you only lose one game, Rob,
yeah,
you will be there at the end. And there is kind of a strange title race going on here. Barcelona and Madrid are top, but they each have games in hand because of the postponed Clásico. They're level on 22 points. Atletico and Sevilla on 21. Granada and Real Sociedad play each other on Sunday. They're within a point of each other. Levante are hanging out in 7th on 17 points. So are Villarreal. So are Valencia. Like, the top 10 is just, there's 6 points between 1st and 10th. 1st and 11th, actually, with Getafe.
Crazy.
Yeah,
Absolutely, it's great.
So Atletico, despite all these screw-ups, aren't really out of anything. If you include the game in hand, they're 4 points behind Barcelona and Madrid, which isn't insurmountable. Despite all these screw-ups, they're still in this thing. Kinda.
More wins.
They do need to win.
That would help. Less draws, please.
That would help. And their next chance to win will be on Wednesday against Leverkusen in Germany. That would be nice.
Yeah, they've been poor in that group.
That would be nice, wouldn't it? Atletico can clinch a place in the Champions League knockouts with a victory in Germany, plus a Juve win over Lokomotiv. That game is in Russia, though, so that could be a tough one. And
seems more like a jockeying for position between Atleti and Juve at this point, more than anything else.
That the game in Turin is going to be the one that decides who finishes first and who finishes second.
And granted, we've seen in recent years that finishing in first doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get an easier team.
Last year was a strange one because Dortmund topped the group, but Dortmund got dumped out by Spurs, who of course went on to the final. Atletico faced Juventus, and we don't need to rehash that. Juventus got knocked out in the following round. So it's kind of a crapshoot in a way. You'd like to finish first, sure, but the draw has been flattened out so that there is no real advantage to it anymore.
Yeah, it's not a decided advantage because it's very likely that a team that finishes in second is actually still going to be quite good.
Right. So, but you would like to finish first, and Atletico can take another step toward that goal. It looks like, once again, we're going to see the Felipe Hermoso pairing in central defense, which has been uneven. Wasn't great on Saturday. Not sure those two guys are great together. Jimenez and Savage are Atletico's two best center backs, and they're really being missed right now. But they're both on the shelf. The expectation is that Savage won't be back until after the break. Maybe Jimenez, you'd hope he comes back next weekend, but maybe not. So you just got to roll with these guys, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. It's concerning, but they've done a very fine job. I mean, in terms of being the two guys who are expected to be backups starting the season, I think they've done all right.
Yeah, and they were thrown into these games with Jimenez and Savage both on the shelf still. They have done all right. We can't expect defensive masterclasses because those two haven't really played together, and they're your third and fourth choice center backs. But they haven't been awful. And while that's not the standard, they haven't cost Atletico any points by themselves.
Right.
So.
Yeah, sure.
That's kind of what the standard we live up to. Again, this is a good chance for Atleti to generate momentum. They beat Leverkusen in the reverse 1-0, which was the start of Alvaro Morata's goal-scoring streak. You have that Wednesday evening, and then you have Espanyol at home next Sunday, and if Atletico don't win that one, then there's a real problem.
Real problem.
As if there haven't been problems we have been talking about in recent episodes, failing to beat Espanyol at home, that would be disastrous.
Yeah.
There would be serious, serious questions if Atletico can't beat an Espanyol team that is 19th in the table, has 6 goals from 12 games.
Yeah, this one should be like a 3-0 easy peasy. But of course, Atleti don't do those.
So we have the trip to Germany first. Atletico do have one win away from home in the group stage in Moscow. I think they will get another on Wednesday.
I think a 2-1 sounds about right.
Tentatively think so.
Yeah.
And Atleti gets to go home.
Leverkusen are bad.
They lost to Mönchengladbach on Saturday at home. 2-1 was the full-time scoreline. They're Mönchengladbach, though, are top of the table.
Which is also crazy.
But
don't know what's going on in Germany this season.
Yeah, Bayern got absolutely trucked.
Yeah, they did.
Good God.
Yeah, they did. They got killed by Eintracht Frankfurt.
And Leipzig put up 8 on Mainz.
Germany weird. Wild. But hey, maybe no Bayern championship this year. That would be nice.
Yeah, Bayern are 4th.
Love it.
They are 4th. They've won just half their games. Leverkusen are 10th on 15 points. Just 3 behind Bayern in 4th. So they're not out of it, but they have not won in 4. Again, they lost at home to Mönchengladbach on Saturday. They have not looked very good in their 3 Champions League group games to this point. Atletico will be favorites, and I think they will get the job done. And I think they clinch qualification as well.
Yeah, Atleti should be able to handle a mid-table German club.
We shall see, Rob.
We shall see, yes. Indeed.
All right, that'll do it for this edition of Colt Gennaro Chat. Rob Walker, thank you so much for joining me, and congratulations on your Georgia Bulldogs pulling out the win.
Absolutely, absolutely. Always a pleasure.
Follow Rob on Twitter at rwalk03. You can follow me at JB Barron, Into the Calderon, at Into the Calderon. All new and archived episodes of this program are on Apple Podcasts and other platforms. Become a Colt Gennaro Chat amigo at patreon.com/ColtGenneroChat. From as little as $3 a month, you get access to instant analysis bonus pods. We're going to be doing some stuff over the international break. Rumor Roundup, it's been a while since we've done one of those. Loan Tracker, it's about time for one of those too.
Oh,
so
yes.
Be on the lookout. patreon.com/ColtGenneroChat. Talk to y'all next week. Until then, adios.